You're very welcome to the Champions Podcast, brought to you by Subaru and Cunningham Auto Point, Oranmore Galway authorised Subaru dealer. I'm Mick McCarthy alongside Mark Farrelly. Last time on this podcast, we were focused on the Dublin footballers, with Mark talking to current All-Ireland champions Michael Fitzsimons and Paddy Andrews. Today, we're going across the country and we're changing sport. We're going to look back a little. The Galway Hurlers were the team of the 1980s, playing in 7 finals in 11 years and winning 3 All-Ireland titles after a famine of over 50 years.
A winch and a gallibe, but a shark playing against Craiga. To crave me here in the national gallibe.
Through these fields of destruction, baptism.
Galway, there's the final whistle. Galway are the champions. And look at that for excitement. But who could blame the Galway followers who have waited since 1923? They have waited all that time for this day.
Tadini Reshengalye, Agatha Glendon and the Grey, our fresh and Kaiman's Kriman Wadini, Sasna, America, our foot in the cheetah, Agatha Shabedra, clean in his love.
Cooney, hand pass to Ina Ryan, the goal lane, the shot, save by Kevin Boyd, to go! It's gone in! Goal lane, the scorer!
What a rasper, huh? Just crept over the line.
But the referee's whistle sounds, and it's Galway who are the new All-Ireland champions! They complete a league and championship double!
We definitely were on a high. We knew that this team was really only coming of age and building. If we only won one, we'd be always wondering about ourselves, like, you know, are we any good at all?
Oh, it's no lane, it comes. Battling with Conor O'Donovan. Lane! A goal! No lane! He's the ace creditor, surely! Lane, the goal-scoring hero last year!
After that game, I hope nobody can lip-read what I was saying, but I remember when I was carried off the field, and it was just unbelievable. I think I enjoyed 88 better than 87.
It's the moment, I suppose, that every schoolboy dreams about. Has enjoyed that dream now on 2 occasions. It's Galway's day. The cup goes back to the West.
People of Galway, we love you.
People of Galway, we love you. He heard it somewhere before.
Amazing memories, an amazing time for hurling. The man at the helm for all of that success was one of the great managers of the GAA, the legendary Cyril Farrell, who we spoke to earlier. So Cyril Farrell, this is the Champions Podcast, your 3-time All-Ireland champion. Straight in there, what's your favourite and what meant the most of the 3 All-Irelands?
Well, I suppose they're all favourites in their own way, but 1980 was very big in the sense that we hadn't won for over 50 years of that, like, you know, and since 1923. And the team was a long time kind of, that team was moving on in years and a long time to get there, always staying well but never winning. So I suppose we actually won. It was a big breakthrough, kind of lifted the whole county.
So what were your tactics when you went into that, when you took over first, you know, as a young manager coming in? Maybe I suppose you were thinking of an All-Ireland in the back of your mind, but just in that first training session when you were preparing to take over that team, how were you going to put your own stamp on it?
Well, I actually was training the team in 79. I had one team that won All-Ireland in 78, coaching them and won, and we were beating another one in 79, but I was with the team as well in 79 training. No, I wasn't coaching, and I wasn't a selector, but I took over the end of 79, like the first meeting with the players. We had a small little training session, but we had a meeting then, and I kind of convinced them that if they followed, you know, that we were good enough to win the All-Ireland, that they'd have the fittest team in the country, and that we'd win if we did what we were told to do. In other words, really buy into it, and that was the big thing, because a lot of these guys around a long time, and they'd be nearly the same age as myself, or maybe I might be a year too old, and some of them would be all around, which, you know, it wasn't much of a difference. And the big thing was to buy into it, which they did, like, and we didn't start training here. It was January when we started to retrain, and it was the 6th of January, actually. It was a holiday that time, and we started the hearsel that time. But we went along during the league trying out different lads. I had a team kind of in my mind kind of from the start, because I was with them in 79. I knew the under-21s coming through in 78, being involved with my team in 73. So, like, I had a good idea of what was happening around me, and Like, it was just to get them, the big thing was to change the belief, like to change their mindset that we were good enough, that it was all right to win as much as anyone else. That was the big thing.
So Galway, as you mentioned there, right, so hadn't won All Ireland since 1923. That was 57 years. Just an incredible run. The low ebb, I suppose, was just over 10 years before they'd lost to London in a quarter final. They had some success here and there. You were involved in some of the underage success yourself. But why do you think it took so long before 1980? Was it a mental block, like maybe a lack of belief in themselves, using things like curses and stuff like that that everybody would talk about, like as an excuse, maybe?
Yeah, well, that's true. Like, there was this thing of the course. Like, when you kept losing, it was getting longer and longer and longer. And I suppose the self-belief, just that you could do. These guys are all good hurlers and would have often played well in big matches, but just when it came down to the big one, didn't actually deliver. You know what I mean? We're beating them, and you'd have stories about the unlucky defeats, all this sort of stuff. But like, it was just to change that mindset. Now, they were good hurlers. Like, when you got them really fit, they were physically strong guys. You know, you didn't have to go to a gym with these fellas now. They were hardy as it was, like, and kind of mature, most of them, like, you know. But a few lads came on from the underage, then we kind of mixed up the blend, like, and, you know, it was just to get really to change the belief, you know. A lot of the time, like, west of the Shannon, we might have this thing that, you know, if you're good, you nearly apologise for being good. I was kind of at them, like, well, you know, we are good enough, like, stick up here, not to be overconfident or arrogant, but, like, to stick up out your chest and say, we are, you know, we're good enough to win this, we're going to win it, you know, that sort of way. But, like, when we won, it was unbelievable, like, it was all the emotion, like, you talk about celebration, like, that went on for a long, long time.
Yeah, we might talk about that in a few minutes, but just, I want to talk to you, I'm very, very interested in yourself coming in. I know you were saying that I think you were 23 when you got to you coached the team to the minor final. In 73, you're 30 in this team, trying to win All Ireland with a team who hadn't done it in 57 years. What do you think gave you that kind of ability, I suppose, to transfer that message, to say, lads, all the things you said there about believing in themselves and about kind of having the confidence to go on and do it and believe in themselves, what made you the person at like 30 years of age? I think people would be listening to this now and barely left the house at 30, you know, that you were able to kind of just believe in yourself, I suppose, to instill the belief in them.
Yeah, I suppose I obviously came from college in the sense that, you know, when I was in UCG and, you know, mixing with different fellas from different counties, and it kind of suddenly hit you like, okay, I'd be an ordinary club hurler, but we had a lot of county lads in there from different counties. And when you put them all together and put, say, a UCG jersey on them, you found that the Kilkenny lad or Cork lad or Tip lad, Limerick fellas, Clare from everywhere, they were no different to the Galway fella. Now, they might have All Ireland's won with their counties, or the counties had All Ireland won and they were playing in that tradition. Now, we hadn't that tradition. We had a tradition of playing hurling, keeping it alive, but not winning. But like, when you look at them, they'd have a pair of hands, it'd be very good, but they'd be no better or worse than we were. The only thing was, just say when a Kilkenny lad, with a lot of army lads there and the cadets at the time, they put on the Kilkenny jersey, they seemed to grow in stature. Like, you know, the way to play above themselves. So that was the big thing. I said, like, I was trying to say to myself, well, look, it's a lot of this is in the mind. You know, like, if you let the mind kind of structure yourself, if you can believe in yourself and maybe visualise what you can do, like, that's the kind of policy I went into it. Now, I knew the underage structure well, because I had a team in 73 minor team that was beaten by Pint. I was involved in the under-21s in 78, 79. You know what I mean? I knew what was around. And a lot of these guys were good hurlers, mad to win as well. Plus, we'll call them the more mature fellas. They were dying to win in the sense they were around for a long time, like playing hurling at the top end, had a little bit of success, but never the holy grail. And as you say, there was this kind of so-called course type, but I always kept saying to them, there's no course, that's an easy way out. That's just an excuse, you know, like that means you're beaten for why train at all. So like we started on the 6th of January, and like the training would have been fairly physical, fairly hard. Like, kind of, in a sense, I went to break them down first, you know what I mean? Like, to my way, and then kind of build them up again. And it wasn't easy, I tell you that now. Some of it would be considered kind of cruel at the moment, like, with so much science going into it. But, like, we did a lot of block training, and, you know, like, it started to come, not in the league, but eventually, like, you know, we kind of worked our team, got a very good back line again, and, you know, got the forwards really clicking. Kind of, we got the young lads coming through from the under-21 minor teams, and we had the experience with all the guys around, and then it started to, we're thereabouts from 80, 81, around that time, like, you know. But the only thing is, the team was when we did click, the team was getting older. The old lads were around a long time on it.
When you say there, sort of, about trying to change that mentality of, you know, growing in stature when they put on the jersey, I presume that tough physical training was as much about the mental aspect of it, of that trying to instill that belief and that character in the lads as it was about the actual thing of getting them physically fit.
Yeah, sure, it's very easy to get a fella fit. If the buy-in, there's no problem getting fit. I would say there's a lot more mental than physical. These guys would have been fit before as well. These guys were actually strong. You didn't have to go to a gym. They were good wrists, good hurlers, doing physical work. Okay, had to tune them up. But the easy bit was getting them fit, but to really believe the mental thing that when I put on this jersey, first of all, you have to make the dress from a kind of a sacrament for us. Like that, this is our patch here. This is us. This identifies us when we came to the dress and put the jersey on. Oh, the club has forgotten about you. That sort of thing. Bring that unity there and bring the real belief. And like, you need hard training, you need to break down lads to build them up mentally that they can take all the knocks. Right? Because they would have got a lot of knocks on the way, had been in finals and semi-finals and matches they felt they should have won. And, you know, as you say, this course was there at the back. Every time you lost, kind of, you know, put it further away. So we had, that was the big thing would have been the mental thing more than anything else.
You mentioned the visualization of it a couple of minutes ago. I was reading today that you were working in Dublin at the time and driving down twice or three times a week for training. Now, I think people have to realize that driving from Dublin to Galway in 1980 wasn't the same as driving there in 2018. I'd say you had a lot of time for the visualization and the plans and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, well, like that's coming through, say, you know, God almighty, I think of the towns, Kilbeg and Kinnegad, you know, the ones in between, Tyrrell's Pass, all the way. I'd leave school at 4:15. We're back in town again about 2:30, 3:00.
Oh my
That'll
God.
Be Tuesday and Thursday and the weekends. It never dawned on me in my wisdom. That time it was all Tuesday, Thursday, we do the full block the weekends.
The students had an easy morning on the Friday, on the Wednesdays and Fridays, did they?
Yeah, but it meant that Monday evening, like in the flat, you did your school work for Tuesday and Wednesday because you weren't back Tuesday night. And the same again on Wednesday, if you did it for Thursday and Friday. You know what I mean? You had to have your kind of school work prepared. But like, you would be on the road a lot, you know, coming up and down. But would you believe it never dawned on me to change the Thursday to the Friday when I was going home anyway. Like, it was always kind of a Tuesday, Thursday, the weekend. And you would have a lot of time of thinking about teams and looking at oppositions, like you'd have all that. When I started out first coming down, I had a few lads with me. But as the year went on, the boys got transferred home. I was still in Dublin. So it was a long haul. And when you were doing it, you didn't mind doing it. When you stopped doing it, you just said, I was mad. You know what I mean? Well, this is crazy. But that's the way it was, like, you know.
Yeah, that's some commitment, I have to say. Cyril, I was just looking at the 1980 season and I don't know, you're talking about all, like, so much of this is about instilling belief and confidence, and as you're as good as anyone, go out there and prove it. Is Offaly winning their first ever Leinster and Limerick stopping Cork from their 5 in a row in Munster and being kind of an unproven team themselves, they're the two teams that you're kind of looking at. Did that help? Just because they were
it could have in the sense that, well, like, Limerick were very strong around in terms of physically strong team, a great force. Offaly, I was at the Leinster Fives in Offaly in Kilkenny. There was only a couple of thousand they had, and it was a shock that they won, but they had a nice team. Would you believe I stopped going home in Boa and I met a friend of mine that was teaching there, and we were out at the golf club actually looking at the match again, and like, I was thrilled to see Offaly coming through because they'd be like ourselves, you know what I mean? They were coming, say, a new team on the block and hadn't won either. Limerick were strong now. They had a lot of very established players and a strong team at the time and very, very good forwards. Like, you're talking about the forwards now, the calibre of, say, Joe McKenna, Eamon Cregan, Grimes, Ollie O'Connor, these guys, you know, usually, like, McKenna would get, his goal to Limerick was worth more than 4 or 5 points. He used to rise the crowd. He was only happy getting goals, like, you know what I mean? And he usually got them. And you had the Carrolls in the back line and Leonard Inright, these fellas, Foley's, Liam O'Donoghue, these were good. These were established hurlers. These were no rookies, you know what I mean? But I suppose, like, you know, they were like ourselves as well. They hadn't won for a long time either. So no matter who won, it was going to be kind of fresh. But we hadn't a great league now. We tried out for it, but definitely we had our minds kind of made up what we want for the championship once we got them fit.
And after winning that then as well, the last Offaly, you'd been involved before in an Ireland defeat. Like, what would you learn from those Ireland defeats that would instill, I suppose, character for the next your second term and the two
Yeah, well, I
to
suppose
come.
The big thing you learn is, like, is that if you can take your chances. And, like, at the time, you'd be kind of saying you got no breaks. But looking back on it, over the years, like, you get some. And the All-Irelands we won, we could have lost. And the ones we lost, we could have won. But that's probably the ebb and flow in any game. Like, but you need the breaks. But the big thing is you have to capitalise on the chances that you create. Like, you know, to be able to handle the pressure of the day, which the lads are good at. Like, we'd have a routine worked out. Now, that time, you see, we'd go up on a Saturday evening. Saturday, like, we'd be in town in the hotel Saturday night, the lads roomed in, and we'd go to the Phoenix Parks in the morning, or Black Rock College with a friend there, and we'd have a puck around, a small puck around after a breakfast in the morning, and you'd go back to the hotel, have a TV. You'd have the schedule of your day, we've already set out, but you'd have the night, you'd be in town from Saturday evening on, you know what I mean? Be going home again Sunday night, you know, and it was a short journey if you won, but if you lost, it was a long journey.
But that was also, speaking of short journey, in terms of time, in terms of the Saturday night, I always wonder what it's like the night before in an Ireland final. I mean, it's so lads can be going to play club matches and they find it difficult to sleep and they find it difficult to have an appetite for the breakfast. What's it like when you're sitting waiting to go out and play the biggest day of the year?
Well, again, now, like, we'd have, first of all, you get up there and you'd have them paired off in the rooms, you know, get their gear in, and then you'd have a meal, and then you'd have a team meeting. Now, we had a few lads that had like a pint or two, and we would never have what we call a drinking ban in. There was two or three of us just stub a pint or two before the match. I found it, you know, did no harm at all to be completely against that now, you know what I mean? But, like, these were kind of seasoned, shall we say. They knew what they were at. It wouldn't be 10 points. You just won or just to make them sleep happy in the beds. But again, like, there would be nervous tension around, and we'd always have mass on the Sunday morning. Most lads would be going to mass anyway, but maybe one or two of them wouldn't, but that's the rule, and that's the way it was. The mass would be said, and afterwards, you'd have, like, this would be after breakfast, and afterwards, again, you'd have another little meeting, and then you'd hit the Phoenix Park or Black Rock College and have a walk. You'd have the schedules very worked out, like, to be all kind of set in a time to be. You'd have to, like, because you'd have over 30 fellas to look after you. There'd be no messing. You couldn't have it, you know, to be very organised. So you'd have to be, like, because... you know, the series. But once you got on the bus, say, around 1:15 to leave from the hotel to leave for Crow Park, like, it was, then the tension started building up, and the crowd would see you going in on the bus, and if it was Galway, they'd put their thumbs up, and if it was, say, Kilkenny playing or Tip, whatever, they'd be, you know, thumbs down, that sort of stuff. That's the way it was. And in the dressing beforehand, you still have your routine worked out. That was, you know, again, it was warm up, tensions, like, and it was lovely to get the match on, to get the ball thrown in. It was, you know, but to build up to it, the few hours before, and it can be kind of be nerve-wracking, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, you were in plenty of them, I suppose. I think people mightn't realise the career trajectory, obviously, because you won three All-Irelands in the 80s, that there was a gap in between. You stepped away after the 82 season and came back, I think, at the end of 84, was it?
Was it 84, 85?
Yeah, for the 85 year, I suppose, yeah.
The travelling was really, the traffic should be, like, the traffic is getting worse, you know what I mean? It could take an hour to get out of town. Like, earlier on, as the years went on, it got worse in Dublin to get out.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Down the country, you know what I mean? So, like, I got out then, say, I know I took a minor team, I coached a minor team in 83, but again, it was just a summer campaign, and we happened to win. You know what I mean? And I think the same year the under-21s won as well. There was a good, you know. But when I went back in Galway next time, I was back teaching St. Raphael's College in Loughrea. That was a different ball because you were home the whole time. You know, like, it was so easy then, just driving to train and, you know. And again, like, when we'd be playing a match, like when I was in Dublin playing the league game, that you'd be driving back after the match, whereas the nicest part of a match is to have a bit of the meal afterwards and have a chat about it, whether you win or lose. You know, you're missing all that. That was completely different when you're back the second time, because you're in base, like, you know, it was far easier.
Yeah, and easier, I suppose, to have the ear on the ground as well as to what the lads are getting up to in the club games and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, we'd have that, and I'd have good selectors, you'd have that, and, like, there'd be a lot of good hurling people that you know that you'd be in contact with. You do all the, we used to have a system, like, where when we'd be at home, we'd meet on a Monday night with the selectors, and we'd give them the venues to cover for the weekend. It wouldn't be matches, you'd be covering the venues, the matches that it could be senior, intermediate, or junior. They had be Saturday and Sunday, they'd cover them, and we'd meet again Monday night, and we'd go through the names that the lads liked what to see, and I'd switch around the selectors then for the next, you know what I mean? They wouldn't be going to their own club matches. They'd be sent to a venue where there'd be two or three games on. That could be junior as well, because you never know where you'll find the fella. We'd comb the county. The age didn't matter, or the club didn't matter. We had them from everywhere, really, you know.
In the second stint, sir, what had changed? Like, I mean, that's a big decade for hurling. I mean, I suppose come the start of the 80s, it was still very much, you know, you stick to your positions, and it was nearly, you know, just who wants it more, a lot of the time it would come down to. But tactically, what changed throughout the decade, and especially from your first stint compared to your second stint?
Yeah, I suppose the big thing that changed was, like, as you say, the first time around, like, there was a lot of overhead striking, there'd be a lot of whipping the ball on the ground and shifting the first time. If you're bottled up, maybe a hand pass. The second time around, I would probably introduce ourselves, like, that time, the second time around, you could score a goal, a hand pass, or a, you know what I mean, with a hand pass. And we played a lot of different hurling the second time. When we got ball, we held possession. We kind of laid it off the fellas off the shoulder, hand pass, and kind of played it around to a lad in a better position, which wouldn't be done in the early 80s, because if you kind of went direct the whole time, we'd be more or less kind of making it. you know, kind of, we had a lot of lighter forwards the second time around, and we kind of created space for them, or maybe we're giving them the ball to finish it. Like, we had finishers as well as kind of, say, creators that had to do the, like, all the hard work, donkey work, and then we had lads who had to finish it. Plus, the thing was, we had a lot of them young lads coming through from 83, and that minor team 83 and under 21 team 83, a lot of good stuff coming through, plus a few mature lads held on. You had a kind of a younger team coming, really, and of course, they had seen the 1980 team. And like, as you know, all the young lads growing up, they love to see their heroes. Like, that was the big thing. Now, there was no social media at that time, and a little bit of local radio, but like, they still saw it on television, and the John Connollys and, you know, the Sean Silsis, World League Clarks, in the Sylvie Land, they were the heroes of the young lads growing up, you know. Then you had the next generation coming. That's really what you're on, because I'd be always onto the boys, like, you know, like, no lad likes being dropped or say he's finished, but like, I'd be answered that you hold the jersey as long as you can, but then you're passing it on. You know, that's the big thing, and leave it in a better place, like, just to make the whole county seem different. And they did. They started the trend like that. The next thing, Galway were involved in a lot of minor finals, under 21 finals, and not only being involved, next thing, it was all right, like, we were winning them. That was the big change, really. Mentally, the change was completely different. We felt there was not saying, like, we might win, like we said, we're as good, we can win as good as anyone else, you know what I mean? It's all right. And that was the big change, I'd say, from the early 80s to the mid 80s from then on, you know.
Yeah, like the Galway, do you find that those two different teams in the 80s and the success that they had changed hurling in the county in general? Not like in terms of, is it just a mental thing, or is hurling bigger in Galway because of that? You know, has it spread? Or?
Oh yeah, it's bigger. I know it was always big, but it was bigger. Like, the crowd started coming to club matches, and it was people wanted to get on the county panel, you know what I mean? There was a chance of winning there, and they were being well looked after. Like that time, like, it was kind of, they're very well looked after now with the things, but even that time, like, you'd have your team doctor, you'd have your physio, they'd be well looked after meal wise, they'd get gear, you know what I mean, in its own way. Like, it you want to become a county player, you know, like, you know, that walking away from the county, like, and it was the in thing to be on a county team if you could, because you were there in Croke Park on big days, and it was a great chance you were winning, and you were up there, like, it, you know, it made the lads better people, if you know what I mean, because you were still, you know, on a county team, you have to behave if you go anywhere. Like, you can't, well, you know, misbehave, really. Kind of, it teaches you kind of discipline, really, like, and that you have responsibility, like, you know, when you put on a county jersey, not alone on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. And like, that has been kind of transferred down through the years, like, which is a great thing, really.
Even when you look back at last year, Cyril, you were chatting to us earlier on in the year, talking about how Galway had to stand up and face the fact that they're favourites and stop hiding behind it. That sounds very similar to what you were saying about the team in the early 80s, about having to grow into the jersey and rise in stature. They did it, obviously, last year. Do you think that they can do it again this year?
It's funny you should bring up that, because even when I said that on television very early on, like, I'd seen them early on and I was very impressed when I saw it, because I knew who was missing. And the people were saying, why are you saying we're favourites? And like, why, oh God, look at the pressure. I said, that's no pressure. We're favourites because we're the best team in it, and we have the potential to win it. That doesn't mean we're going to win it. But if we get our act together, like, and get the, we have the pieces, like a jigsaw, just put them together. Same thing goes again this year. Like, I've seen all the matches so far. We've had a good few training sessions around different counties. There's no doubt about it. Galway have a very, you know, they have the potential to win All Ireland if they get their act together. It's up to us. It's in our own hands, and the team know that. Okay. They'll take it game by game. And even some of the players say to me, oh, they'll be putting pressure. I said, that's not pressure, lads. You know, if you're good enough, you're good enough. And you are good enough. Don't be trying to dodge the bullet. But, like, you have to do that. And I think, you know, it's a thing in life as well. Like, again, you know, a lot of counties, west of the Shannon, again, we're slow. We're, you know, we're not saying about being arrogant, but I am saying about having belief in what we're able to do, and what we're capable of doing. And on the pitch, like, you know, this present team have fantastic skill, and really it's in their own hands. If they get their act and their minds together this year, I have no doubt, like, that they'll win the All-Ireland game once they get their own. They really just have to worry about themselves, really, not anyone else.
Do you think that's something that someone is born with, or they can grow into it, in terms of that sort of thing, that they thrive in the big day and the big occasion, that they don't shy away from it? The nerve sometimes that hits other lads, that, you know, they get to the big occasion and they might shrink into it, but that they actually go, you know, I've been training for this all year, this is where I'm meant to be. Is that something that, like, how does you instill that in someone?
Yeah, well, like, some players can have it, but a lot of it can come from the management as well. Like, you have to have leaders on the management team that can give this belief that we're all in this together. Like, if you look at what Brian Cody has done this year, like, okay, he had fantastic teams and won so many All-Irelands and so many different leagues. But this year, he had a kind of a new team. Like, you know, all the Henry Shefflins, the JJ Delaney's, the Tommy Welch's, Jackie Tur, all these has gone. and he builds up a new team, and he goes out, and I think it's his greatest feat of all to win a league with them. Like, you know, just to bring them to that level again, lost the first two games, okay, not by much, but like did lose. And next thing he's able to bring them around, you know, to win the title again. Like, sure, you know, it just shows what can be done. Now, I really believe, I have no dim lads, a lot of them young lads are going to college, and while they're good players, there's no doubt about it. When they put that Kilkenny jersey on, and Brian Cody is in charge, they play so much better, because they have this belief, you know, that it's ours, that we won't die. Even the day against Dublin, first day out of the championship, kind of caught, you know, on the ropes. I don't know what any other team have come back and do what they did. But yet you had, we even looking on and still felt, you know, you nearly want the final whistle gone and be out the gate before you believe. You still felt we were going to come back and win, and sure enough they did. Not too many other teams would have done that. But that's what he has instilled. Now that's what I mean by the management on the sideline, the manager has to instill that into his players. Like, you know, okay, they'll have it in them, but to get it out of them, that's up to the management.
Yeah. What about this weekend then? Because it's Galway's first game back in championship game in Pearse Stadium and God only knows how long, and it is Kilkenny, and Kilkenny is they avoided Kilkenny last year, you know. So I don't know if you'd worry about any kind of a mental block, just all the things you were talking about with Cody's teams there. This is actually a big test for Galway to overcome, isn't it? So they can kick on for this year.
Yeah, it's great because it'll let them know where they are. Now Kilkenny have two games won. Two championship games, which is great. Galway have only won, but like Galway will be looking forward to this. It's a big challenge. Now, Kilkenny, well, were flat enough last weekend against Offaly, even though they got over. Didn't have to be kind of at the brilliant best, but there's no doubt about it. They'll raise their game to Galway, and Galway will be looking at Kilkenny and let Micheál Donnelly and the boys know like what level we're at. Because definitely in this kind of round robin or this league campaign in Munster and this year, you definitely want to be winning your home games. Now, Galway have already 2 points up away, but you win your home games and two away, you're already through. You know what I mean? That puts you up. So it's a big one for Galway, but I think be looking forward to it, and you know, I don't think there's any real injuries. Like, if you know, last weekend, now Brian Cody risked a few lads because they were half injured. I'd say he was kind of thinking down the road he's going to need him, like the likes of Walter Welch and these lads on against Galway. But like, Galway will be loving the challenge, you know, and the likes of Dahi Burke back again from a great campaign with Cora Finn, Garrod McInerney was kind of out into foil back the last day. All these boys are coming back into form, and they will lead them all. But like, it's great to look forward to, and it's a real big game in Galway. Like, I think Galway are kind of treating it like this. It's great that this is their first championship game at home in Leinster, which is a big thing for Galway at the moment. And it's been treated kind of different. It's been treated more than a game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I really can't wait for it, actually. It's going to be the biggest game of the year so far. But, sir, before we let you go, I was like, I'm looking here. We didn't even really touch all that much on the 87 to 88 team, or even, I suppose, like that's more of a 85 to 90 team. Like, it's five All-Irelands in 6 years. Like, the run that Galway had there is just quite incredible. But just on that team briefly, like, you were kind of did a Jack O'Connor and went back and did the minor and under 21s in your kind of hiatus as senior manager. Did you know what was coming down the line with that great team?
Yeah, well, I knew it was a great talent there. No, I didn't think I'd be back in charge again. That was never in my head at all. But just there was the where I was, my job situation suited. You know what I mean? I was back in Loughrea.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Different ballgame to be in Dublin. You know, I can just see the under 21s and minors was kind of like, okay, you'll be down the weekends, but like it was kind of more as a summer campaign. But I knew there was good talent around, and you'd know the talent. Like, I brought a lot of the 83 for this straight in. Into a minor or into a senior setup, and most of the 83 team went on to win an under 21 in 86. The block of the team was, you know, the kind of the likes of say, John Cummins, Jerry McInerney, you know, Sean Tracy, Pat Malone, Anthony Cunningham, Joe Cooney. All these fellas were there in 83 and on minor team, and then you had the likes of Pete Pirant and these lads, Tony Keith, Lars Merson on the 83 under 21 team. There was a terrible block of you know, young talent coming, plus I still had a pick of the older guys I had thought I'd be able to go through it again. Okay, they were moving on, but like there were still the likes of Noel A and Peach Murray. These guys were still great. You know, they were still very good hurdles. You know, they were there in the late 70s, early 80s, and stuck the test of time. Like, you know, so that was really, you had a strong panel again. And again, it took a look, Michael Connolly, these fellas, they came and led. Like, it took a while to build it, like 85, 84. We were hammered in Turles out the gate by Offaly and at a low ebb. But like, we're back in the final in 85 again. Maybe it was a kind of a brand new team, kind of getting lads flucking up everywhere. But it took us 2 or 3 years to build the team. And then when it was built, you were kind of there for a while. And that's, I can see this team doing the same thing. They'll be there. They're going to get the run in 5 or 6 years. And I'd be at them like to make hay while the sun shines. Because after, give it 5 or 6 years, the time rolls on again. And again, they'll have to pass the jersey on to someone else.
Just one thing, sir, as well, before we go. What's it like the last few months? as a supporter of Galway, you know, you've all these Ireland wins, you had a big hand to play in them. You were, you know, maybe you were almost involved looking on to the next thing, but being able to just sit back and, you know, soak in that All Ireland final win back in September, and to see these lads, like, I mean, I know I've obviously no connection with Galway at all, but to see the way Joe Canning was on the pitch with Tony Keady's children, the way he treated them, and that they were great, they're great examples, great lads to have as role models for a county, and to be able to bask in that victory 30 years later.
Yeah, look, it was unbelievable. First of all, winning it was kind of, would you believe, a feeling of relief, you know, that we're actually there. And even that night abroad, you know, in the reception in the City West, the seniors, the minors jumped around the place, they had won as well, but the seniors, which was just relief, more or less, we've won it, it's great, just kind of, thanks be to God. But the feeling now, like, since that has been unbelievable. Like, there's a great feeling of goodwill in the county, not alone for Horda, for everything. Like, when you win an All-Ireland, it gives a lift to every kind of, you know, every, like, the young and the old. And as I say, like, to me, it has made kind of great ambassadors of say, David Burke as captain, Joe Cannon, these guys, Gowers McInerney, they've all kind of stepped up to the plate, and they have behaved the way you'd want them to behave, as leaders, not you know, not sticking their head up their backside, but like as real leaders, kind of as say, ambassadors for the young people to look up to, and like, you know, and treating the people properly. They went to a lot of places, to older people in hospitals, to younger people. They've done a lot of great work off the field, like, and it I think it has matured them, you know what I mean, and to realise now that it's okay. People say All Ireland doesn't change your life. It does. It changes your inner belief, and you can give so much satisfaction to other people. The satisfaction you get yourself is you win your medal, and maybe, you know, you might put it up on the wall, or you might only put it under the bed. But it's just a thing of winning it. But I think they only realise, like, when they've won, and since, how much it has meant to every kind of young and old in Galway, you know, and around the diaspora, around, because Galway, like, would have a terrible lot of immigration. People gone to America, Australia, London. Sure, they can't get enough of this present team, and that's what you want. We're gone, you know. These are the new heroes now. Like, and if they're around for a few more years and win one or two again, and then someone else has come, that's really what you're hoping, that the legacy will drive on the next generation.
Well, Sarah, listen, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure talking to you, and best of luck, I suppose, watching Galway in the year and years ahead, yeah, as you say yourself. Thanks a million.
Looking forward to it.
That was our interview with Cyril Farrell, one of the greats of the GEA, on the Galway hurling dominance of the 1980s. Three All-Ireland titles between 1980 and 1988. That's it for the Champions Podcast for this week. We were brought to you by Subaru and Cunningham Auto Point, Oran Mór Galway authorised Subaru dealer. We'll be back with you shortly for another story of GEA champions. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our other podcasts on this feed, and check out balls.ie for great GEA coverage every day. Talk to you soon.